Now tell him that first of all.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, page 1053. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
For the benefit of our web listener, my wife is throwing her eyes up to heaven. And you wouldn't blame her. But anyway, our text. Lord, we do thank you for scripture, and we pray each week. We do thank you for those who pray with us and for us. Specifically, Lord, for those who pray for me. That I would get some insight, understanding, Lord, into the whatever portion of scripture we look at, and that we would have something to say that would be helpful, possibly and hopefully insightful, but at least helpful. As always, Lord, we know that it's your Spirit that reveals truth to all of us and helps us to understand. Otherwise, Lord, it is literally words on paper that has little or almost no connection with where we are at and our lives today. So, Lord, we are grateful when you do help us to understand what's really going on, even in any portion of Scripture, and you do give us the insight. But Lord, we say it's a work of your Spirit to our spirit. And we pray this day for those who listen afterwards, who pray for us, that they too may be find this passage helpful, and may there be some inspiration that will be helpful to them as well. And all God's people said, if this passage is going to be any use to you, you need to walk a little in Zacchaeus' footsteps. Otherwise, you know the story. For it to be helpful, you need to walk in his footsteps. The idea of this sermon came to me, I think, on Sunday night. The Lord, as best I can understand, was impressing on me that one of the ways that we struggle as his people is simply this. We allow distractions to come between us and Jesus. And the passage that we have this morning is to help us specifically with this. Sometimes, you know the saying, we can be our own worst enemy. And sometimes we actually can be. And as I was thinking about this on Sunday night, this is the passage that came. So our theme and our title for the to keep us on track is not allowing distractions to come between us and Jesus. And our man on the job this morning is Zacchaeus. And I want to highlight a few distractions that were put in front of him and how he avoided us. Is that all right? That's where we're going with it. It's not any deeper than that. So verses 1 and 2 then, we see that Jesus entered Jericho. Obviously, that's where Zacchaeus resided and was passing through. And there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And in bold red here we have a chief tax collector and was very wealthy. Zacchaeus wasn't a man for influencing people for the good. He wasn't a mover and shaker in popular circles. He would have been a despised man. A man who sold out to the enemy, a man who would be seen as betraying his own and ripping everyone off and having the power to do so. In the eyes of many people, the fact that he was a chief tax collector meant this: he was highly successful and he was very efficient. In the business world, he would have been a man sought after for conference speaking and for collecting taxes. I suppose tax collectors are never popular, but back in Jesus' day, they were incredibly unpopular. That's what they were. So Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, meant, of course, we understand that many people, he had people under him, and he was obviously involved in senior management. And he had done very well for himself, very successful. But now Jesus is coming through, and we know the story. He'll want to see Jesus. But since we're coming at it from distractions, already there are distractions put in front of Zacchaeus. The fact that I've highlighted that he's a chief tax collector and he was wealthy, he had several distractions that he had to overcome in his own mind. So for instance, possibly this one. He could say, what's the point? What's the point in me even going to see who this Jesus is? Because why go where I am not wanted? The last person anyone wanted to see around the streets of Jericho was Zacchaeus. He knew that, and people wouldn't be long telling him. So why go where I am not wanted? How many of us would say is, if I'm not wanted, I ain't going. No, there's nobody else saying it at the moment. We're saying it ourselves. Distraction number one. Distraction number two that he would have to overcome would be this. Why go where I have to endure more dirty looks? And that would be a reality for Zacchaeus. Sarcastic comments and insults. Or they had to pay him the money. But they could really tell him when they were paying the money what they thought of him. Every opportunity given. So there was a crowd coming and following Jesus. So if Zacchaeus was going to enter out into the public arena, there's a good likelihood that this could happen. So you see already, it's not as easy, is it? How many of us would stumble at one and two there? First of all, if Jesus is coming and he's coming to a group of people who don't want me to be there, am I going to show up? You know, where you feel unwelcome. Or will I go to where Jesus is coming to and have to insult or to have to endure dirty looks, sarcastic comments like, what are you doing here? Your type is not welcome here. He had to overcome that. But he wasn't allowed that distraction come between him and Jesus. That's the first one. So what's the point really is, often the distractions that stop us from meeting Jesus or encountering him, often they're in our own mind. In our own thinking and in our own perspective. We anticipate the worst and say, gosh, I won't go there because of that. Does that make sense? No. Number one. Okay, we'll move on. But Zacchaeus may have an awful lot of money, and he was wealthy, but he was short in terms of body length. He was longer than everything else, but apparently this was not a problem. So he wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Now that presents another distraction to him, right? Because he'd have to say, well, what's the point? Well, you may say, well, what do you mean? Well, it's a waste of time. I won't see a thing. I'm too small. Big crowd out there. Lots of taller people than me. I get lost in the crowd. Won't see a thing. Waste of time. Let's face it. Size is against me. This is one place where size matters, and I haven't got it. Can you see that? All simple distractions, but they're ready-made. And centuries later, we're still saying the same thing. Have you noticed that? No, Zacchaeus could say all that, and that would be true for him. It could have been a waste of time. He may not have seen a thing. And he certainly was too small. But he didn't allow that stop him from at least seeing Jesus. So here we are. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. You see, often the obstacles in coming to see Jesus are self-imposed. In our mind, are a certain amount of restriction that is just naturally there. And they have to be overcome by ourselves because they're of our own making for the most part. Or only us can do it. So he ran ahead, he climbed the sycamore tree, you know the story. So he didn't allow distractions to stop him from seeing Jesus. Let's name him. He wasn't popular. He'd have got dirty looks. There'd have been sarcastic comments. A few insults. On top of all that, he had a problem seeing. But he climbed a tree. Now, you don't see very prominent business people and successful people climbing trees to see a dignitary coming. But Zacchaeus absolutely did. He wanted to see Jesus. So he wasn't allowing things that would distract other people and put him off. But you can see in his thinking, any of those things could have tripped him up so far. So when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up, can you imagine that? And said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Now there's great sermons on what you could put in there, right? What do you think Jesus would say next? But in this case, he said, I must stay at your house.
I can't get the answer to that.
Oh, she can't get the answer to that. I just pressed sire on my phone. It's all right, my dear, I'll come back to you. You see, another distraction that you have to overcome is you don't have to find Jesus. He'll find you. Now, by that I mean is, if you're going to meet him, right? Jesus is going to have a good idea of where you're going to be. And if he's at the fence, the case up a tree, in a large crowd, right? There's a good likelihood he'll be able to figure out where you are too. I'm fairly confident of that, right? So I must stay at your house today. And then it moves on. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. It was the last thing he expected. And the crowd expected as well. So it was now going well. But now he had another problem because verse 7 says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, complaining about Jesus as well. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Great sermon in that in terms of connection and association, but we haven't got time because we're talking here about distractions. And here is a distraction that can be a major one, right? This is real now. The other ones are we put up in our own minds. We can imagine, say, you know, but this is now a real distraction. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. This is an important distraction, and many people come undone with this one. But not the case. He didn't allow the disapproval or the negative comments of others to stop him spending time with Jesus. Oh, he must have heard the rumors, because the very minute Jesus had come down and the boys were walking, you can be sure there wasn't moments of silent reflection and meditation. People were shocked, and as soon as they were shocked, they were speaking. You'd love to know what they were saying. But they were complaining about Jesus. It didn't bother Jesus in the least, may I say. He couldn't have cared less about the approval or disapproval of others. But it didn't worry Zacchaeus either. Not everyone will think it's a good idea for you to go and spend time with Jesus. Some people think you're half mad. Or completely mad. Or I'll say, and so some people's approval you have, or else you'll have their disapproval. And saying, for goodness sake, would you go and get a grip and do something useful with your time? Does that make sense? So he had to overcome the disapproval and the smart comments of others. And on he went. It didn't bother him. So he didn't allow that to distract him either. You know what people say in Ireland? What are people going to say? You know, Jesus says, who cares? They're going to talk anyway. So who cares what they're going to say? Who cares about what they're going to think? Zacchaeus didn't care, and neither did Jesus. So that's a distraction that both of them overcame. But specifically, it's Zacchaeus. So there we are, verse 7. There's only 3 verses to go. Of course, I could distract you, and we could be here longer. So all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 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 here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, and I can imagine the comments of that one, and I will pay back 4 times the amount. Now we're looking at this in terms of distractions, right? What distraction did Zacchaeus overcome there that was a major distraction and a major reality in this man's life? By those words, he was no longer distracted by wealth. Isn't that remarkable, isn't it? Here's Jesus going to eat in his house, associating with a well-known sinner. This man stands up and he says something that is quite remarkable. The last thing, according to the Methodist leader John Wesley, to be converted is a man's pockets. The very first thing to be converted in Zacchaeus' case was his pocket. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? Wealth was no longer a distraction to him. It is just remarkable. No longer distracted by wealth or power, anything like that. And then, the next one though is the real clincher, right? No longer distracted by what's in it for me. Do you see that? Most people that came to Jesus came because they wanted to see what was in it for them. Zacchaeus is doing the reverse. Actually, instead of receiving, though he did receive, he's actually giving out. So this thing of what's in it for me, and that can be a distraction. If I go to spend time with Jesus, what's in it for me? What do I get in return? In Zacchaeus' case, it's actually what he gives in return. Do you see that? I'm not saying that not making anyone feel bad. I'm just saying it is the reverse to how we think, isn't it? It's the case is giving, is doing away with the giving. And there's no mention of Jesus even challenging him with that. It just seems to be his heart was touched. And as soon as his heart was touched, so was his pocket, so to speak. So no, not alone. The distractions come between us and Jesus. Zacchaeus, I'll just give you a few of them, and then I'll contrast the ones we have for today, and we're almost finished in. So Zacchaeus, first of all, well, why go where I'm not wanted? That was the first one. Why go where I have to endure more dirty looks, sarcastic comments, and insults? That was the reality. What's the point? It's a waste of time. I won't be able to see a thing. I'm too small. And the last one. The best I can hope for is to be able to see him. Real distractions. Now for us, not alone distractions come between us and Jesus. What are the ones that we have to overcome? Well, size is not a problem for most of us, you know, and there's too many sycamore trees that we have to worry about. But here are some of the distractions. It's not worth the effort. No one has to tell you that. I don't have to have anyone come in and tell me that. I can do that by myself. Are you the same? Something is not worth the effort. Here's another one that's very popular with us. Couldn't be bothered. Couldn't be bothered. No, they're all stuff in our own heads. There's no putting a gun to my head to say any of these things. It's already in there. And I'm sure some of you are smiling, so you may have thought the very same thing. But that's another one. Another one that stops us self-distractions is this one. I've heard it all before. Really. You've heard the story. I've understood a bit of it, but there's so much to be understood that we don't understand. But that's a problem, isn't it? Been there, done that, wore the t-shirts is our modern slang. Another distraction would be this. Better things to do with my time. I'm very busy at work. I have a very demanding schedule. I have a bit of time off. I have really better things to be doing with my time. And I think I may have one more. I'll stay at home and unwind. Or go to the pub for a pint. Whatever the case may be. Put in your own phrase there. Now, are they real distractions, aren't they? For all of us. All of us, right? But the distractions are on our side. And it's not that Jesus won't meet with us. It is that these things have to be overcome in order to even get out the door, so to speak. And often we can fail in those. And we're not saying that to make people feel guilty. Just say, there lies the problem. Zacchaeus overcame those on that occasion. We don't know what he was like afterwards, but on that occasion he came over all those and he actually met with Jesus. Isn't it quite remarkable, isn't it, when you think of it that way? I never have thought of it that way. Anyway, there we are. Okay. 9 and 10 is Jesus' assessment of Zacchaeus, which is absolutely, you can't get any better than this. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. Let me tell you, if you ask Joe Bloggs out in the street in Jericho, who is Zacchaeus, son of who? I'm telling you, the last person they would mention would be Abraham. Son of Satan or son of the devil, son of anything. You can add a few, and they throw a few curses onto it as well, you know what I mean? But with Jesus, he's saying, this man too is a son of Abraham. In other words, he is a true follower of the one God. That is what he's saying. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. As far as Jesus was concerned, the evidence of salvation and the evidence of a change of mind was the words that Zacchaeus spoke. And what about them? Well, I give half what I have to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I pay him back four times. That is as much as we know of what he said. But what we do have is Jesus' assessment of Zacchaeus, a spiritual man restored to God. And the very purpose of the meeting, as far as Jesus is concerned, was that's why he came, to seek and save the lost. Think of a little thing there is, you see. As Zacchaeus was seeking after Jesus, he was only trying to even see him. Jesus was seeking after him. You see, it's highly unlikely. I put money on it. And you can place a wager, although I suppose we're not meant to be doing that. There's a good chance. If you go to meet Jesus, there's a good chance of him showing up. There's a very good chance, right? Because if you're seeking him, the chances are he's already seeking you anyway. He's just waiting for you to show up, really. He's already been waiting for it. So he was already seeking after Zacchaeus. It's just Zacchaeus didn't know it until he was up the tree and Jesus stopped. Very powerful, isn't it? Very, very powerful. Distractions. So easy. And I just have three for you. So easy too, right? Number one. Allow other people's negative opinion to over-influence us in relation to going and spending time with Jesus. That can happen very easily. Negative opinions to over-influence us. Number two, it's so easy to think nothing significant is going to happen. So easy done. We don't need any help with that one. That one we can do ourselves. And number three, so easy to talk oneself out of something. Number one, that's where we allow other people's negative opinions to influence us and stop us. But number two and number three are things we do ourselves. Distractions often can stop us from actually meeting him. So to apply all of this then, I have Zacchaeus' life's lessons. This is kind of the common buzz thing, you know. So we use a more bit of kind of modern phraseology so to let the web listener know that I'm in touch with the real world. I'm probably about 30 years behind at the moment, but anyway, there we are. So what are the life lessons? And I suppose there is a few. I think I have four. Don't allow any distractions to stop you from meeting with Jesus. That's a decision that you have to make. Because distractions are real and they're going to come in front of you. But it's really up to us to stop that. You know, individually. In as much as you can. That's a decision. Number two. Don't allow people's opinion, approval, or disapproval to stop you from meeting Jesus. If Jesus said, I'll meet you tomorrow morning in Donegal, would you go? Where are you going tomorrow, Louise? I'm going to Donegal to meet Jesus. What? Donegal? Is he not in Dublin? What he said, Donegal. Do you see what I mean? Don't allow other people's opinions or approval or disapproval to stop you from meeting Jesus. And that stops us. That stops us. What do you think? I think you're mad. All right, I won't go there. Does that make sense? Number three. If directed to a specific location and time, then it's important to follow those instructions. What did Jesus say to Zacchaeus? Come down, I must go to what? Your house. If Jesus gives you a specific time and a specific location, though he's omnipresent everywhere, but he says, this place, this time, show up. I have talked to people who have missed it. They were on the wrong mountain. They were in Glendalough. Jesus was in Brayhead. If he says Brayhead, then it's Brayhead. If he doesn't say, and he's not specific, then go where you want. But if he is specific about a certain location and a certain time, then that's your tree appointment, for the want of a better word. It means is he has business for you to do there. And I have gone to certain locations as I have been directed, and I've got bits and pieces of instructions. But I have left the last one, which I think is the hardest one for us. You know, for us who are maybe as spiritually minded as my good self. Do you like this, right? This is the one that really kind of throws us. Well, throws me in it. I think you're better than I am. I think Ruth calls it, you know, throwing the rattler out of the pram. I think this is kind of where I can go down in this one. Right? This is number four. Don't get distracted by unrealistic, self-centered expectations when meeting Jesus. I have to remind myself, I'm not Moses. I'm not going to be up in the mountain for 40 days. Jesus is not calling me to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. So my expectations in meeting him need to be realistic. In terms of my calling, in terms of the bits and pieces of responsibility that he gives me. And I can't go, and I have obviously gone, with certain expectations of earth-shattering insights and revelations. Of that Jesus is going to fill me full of whatever it is, the fullness of God. And I come back like Moses, face shining, you know, people having to put a veil over me. It doesn't go like that. I have gone and I have prayed, and the Lord has given me things in Scripture that are for all the people. And I said, but what about me? And he'll say, what about you? What about you? But I'm taught I am coming for who? For me. Sometimes when Jesus will meet with me, it's not for me, it's not even about me, it's about and for somebody else. But that can be a distraction. It says, well, the last time I did that, this is all I got. I close this. I said it before, and I'll repeat it. Some years ago, I was instructed to pray from 7 o'clock in the morning, I know you're very impressed, to 7 o'clock at night. And to help, you know, me with that, I was allowed to do the first hour or two in the gym, you know, pray and listen. And, well, I wasn't listening. I was mostly praying and listening to a talk. Anyway, at the end of the day, I got 5 verses from some Old Testament prophet, fairly obscure types of stuff, right? I said, 12 hours. And I got 5 verses about leaders who lived thousands of years ago, and that's what I got, and zilch for me. Who wants to go back and meet Jesus for another 12 hours? So I began to realize then is that's an unrealistic, self-centered expectation. Does that make sense? And that can be a distraction. I go to meet Jesus because there has to be something in it for me. Actually, I can go and meet Jesus, and there may necessarily be anything in it for me, and it may be for the benefit of other people. When Jesus met Zacchaeus, you know who benefited? Well, Zacchaeus benefited in terms of salvation, but other people benefit from his generosity. So this thing of what's in it for me can be a distraction. Especially if you have the level of Christianity that I have and the ability to wheel and deal with God. That can even be another distraction, but we won't go there. So you see what I'm saying? Any of those things distract us. And all the Lord was saying, as I could understand, as he was directing me, is they're the things that get us quicker than waking up and suddenly in the middle of the night and the Lord said, go to Egypt. That doesn't happen too often to the likes of us. But these distractions are a reality to us, and they can stop us from overcoming and meeting him at any time. I think now that we've highlighted them, there's a good chance that you may climb a tree somewhere. We'll ask no questions if that's what you want to do, and that we'll have a corona conversation in your sense that Jesus is coming, you know. But we will know that you have met him when we see you open your bank account and turn out all the money. We know then, oh, they have met with Jesus. But anyway, let's pray that the next time that you go to meet him, you know, in this kind of a specific type of thing, that distractions don't get the better of you. Is that fair enough? It's no more than that. I'll let you know the next time he calls me and we'll see how we get on, you know. So, Lord, we do pray. Lord, there's humor in it. We admit that, Lord. But often, distractions do stop us. Self-imposed distractions, Lord, often stop us. We do pray, Lord, that, Lord, we don't need other people's approvals or disapproval, Lord, if you are calling us to the mountain, so to speak, to meet with you. Lord, we pray specifically, Lord, if there's a time or a location, and that may just come occasionally, then, Lord, that we will follow the instructions that are given, if instructions are given. Lord, if there's a date and a time and all that. If there isn't, Lord, we can just choose ourselves. But Lord, help us not to go meeting with you, Lord, with our hands wide open, Lord, expecting massive senses of blessings, anointings, all of that. So, Lord, that we go with a self-centered, totally unrealistic expectations. And because they are not met in that way, Lord, that we come back disappointed and say, I'll not do that again. Lord, protect us from that. We take everything we have said and pray, Lord, that it will help people who will go, Lord, to see and to speak with you. Help specifically, Lord, to the cases. Lord, those who would be unpopular in Christian circles, who would not, Lord, be welcomed in most churches. Lord, let them know Lord, that you will meet with them if they are eager to meet with you. And all of God's people said,